And as we get ready to turn there, Kevin, on behalf of the local board administration and the leadership, had shared, and he shared a lot of numbers in there. Basically, what we're saying is just open your heart up to God. I just want to share a couple more numbers with you. And these ones are real easy to remember. One represents the number of individuals who this last Sunday accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. 3 represents of the new members that you see in your bulletin that came into the church, into our church family. 3 of them accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in the last 8 months. You know, God is always at work. There's just sometimes when you see the evidences of that work more often than others. And right now, we are in a wave of God's grace. And it's not just for us. God never blesses us just for ourselves. But we are blessed to be a blessing. And here's another thing. You know, at the end of the church year, you have to give all these statistics. And here's another evidence of God's grace. We have our annual church budget, which this year represented the largest income that we have had in the history of the church. But that's not the thing we get all excited about. Listen to this one here. I began looking at what we've been able to give toward missions, because you've heard me a number of times say the greatness of a church is not what it gathers, but in what it gives. And in the missions area of our church, our faith promise giving that many of you just on a regular basis give that faith promise, it's totally separate from the church budget. From giving of water wells to our Father's Day and Mother's Day to mission trips and supporting things. Now, this doesn't count individual gifts that you may have done apart from the church, because there's a number of those and there's no way we can figure out there. But that number represents 11.5% of our giving this last year. Almost $35,000 given to share our love with everyone. Yes, praise God. Praise God. God is doing a work in our hearts. And I believe that he will continue to do that as we remain faithful to him. You also know that, and it's in your sermon notes there, we're having a schedule change. And one of the reasons we're doing that is to make more space. And we're purposely doing that in the summer months where our attendance is a little bit down, so we can kind of see where we're going to be as we ramp up again for the fall. Now, just because it's summer is no excuse for you to stay away. Because I really tell you, you miss a Sunday, you miss a lot. Right? You miss a Sunday, you miss a lot. And but this is the type of attitude. This is another wave of God's grace in our life. I got this email during staff meeting. Now, don't chide me for checking my email during staff meeting, but I was focused. I'm a multitasker, okay? I got this email. Pastor David, praise God from whom all blessings flow. To sit and hear the excitement Sunday evening in the leaders of our groups and see the excitement in all the new members' faces was awesome. Wow. How exciting to be part of their lives through the working of God. When, and I changed this a little bit so they could remain anonymous, when I heard about the changes in the worship schedule, now back to their words, my heart was saddened because I knew that I would be giving up the worship service that I so much enjoy and seeing all my friends that we have made over the years. But then I thought of the reason why we are needing to do this. Have you ever tried to be upset with God when down deep you know he is right? So I had to do a lot of praying and soul searching through this. Then Sunday evening, God opened my eyes to the real reason and put such a love in my heart for all these people that I don't even know. Will this change be easy? Not by myself. But with God leading me, I will grow to enjoy it and make new long-lasting friends. I pray that God will continue to pour out his many blessings on all of us and cause us to grow and grow for his heavenly kingdom. And it's because of people like this with a heart and a mind for Christ that we can look forward with anticipation of the changes that really some of them are being forced upon us because of the grace of God that is poured out of our life. Monday morning, I got a phone call from Grace Harris. Their class meets back in that overflow area back there during the Life Connection time. Here's what Grace Harris said. We kind of looked, and we're going to meet at 8:15 on Sunday mornings. And because Grace and Dean, right over here, say hi, because they love the music in the second service, are going to go home for an hour and come back and worship with you. Listen, they're not doing that because of Concordia Wesleyan Church. They're doing that because they're honoring Jesus Christ in their daily life. We don't know what all we're going to pan out as far as the Life Connections, but we're working on it. We're not going to have every problem fixed. But listen, I have a family of my own, and we got problems that we still are trying to fix. Right? Okay? So we're gonna grow together, and we're inconvenienced a little bit. We're going to say we're a family here, and we're going to give grace to each other, and we're just going to enjoy what God continues to do. Now, if you're keeping track of the time, I haven't started preaching yet. So you don't count that 7 minutes that I just talked, okay? All right, turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And I will talk quickly here because, man, this is a powerful, powerful scripture. Would you stand in honor of the Word of God? New American Standard Version says this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verses 3 to 14 in the original language is the longest ongoing sentence of the New Testament. The editors have broken it up and they've made it in different sentences, forms for us. But Paul just begins praising God for what he's been doing in his life and what he sees. And he just keeps on and on run-on sentence. Okay, here it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he loved, in him who he has redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable for the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have also obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, whose works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Before you're seated, I want you to watch this. Verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. End of verse 12, to the praise of his glory. And end of verse 14, to the praise of his glory. Lord, this scripture clearly defines for us the one true God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Father has chosen us to the praise of his glory. The Son has redeemed us to the praise of the glory of God's grace. And the Holy Spirit has sealed us to the praise of his glory. No wonder we honor you in every thought, every word, every deed. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever gone into a room to pick up something and once you got there, you forgot what you went in that room to pick up? Every day, I'm getting some witnesses, okay? What we find out is that a lot of times it's the older we get, the more that seems to happen with regularity. In fact, we even have a phrase that we call it. We said, I had a senior moment. Well, we want to do everything that we can to make sure that in our own life, we don't have an ongoing series of senior moments. And it's kind of why, as a church, as we get older and older as a church, see, Concordia Wesleyan Church was started in the 1930s. So we're getting, every year we get a little bit older. And we have a mission statement. And why we are going down the mission statement is when we get where we're going, we want to know why we got there. We want to know why we are doing what we're doing. Because I think a lot of churches around here have kind of lost saying, what do we do what we do? We don't want to become like that. We want to be people that build community, a community of believers. We're not the only one, but we're part of building the body of Christ here. And we have a commitment to grow together as a result of that, because we're going to take God at His word. We also want to be this community of believers that don't just have a good weekend service, but rather what happens here when we engage God's word, when we apply it into our life, that it makes an effect in our daily life. It ought to make us better workers. It ought to make us better spouses. It ought to make us better parents. It ought to make us, what we do here changes our life. Because if God's word is true, and we believe that it is, it ought to have an effect upon the outcomes of our life. It ought to change the way that we think. And so we're going to start on a basis here today, a two-part sermon on what it means to honor Jesus Christ in our daily life. And what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. And so Paul begins to talk about it. It's because what you, as a man, thinks within himself, so he is. And if you think wrongly about God, you're going to act wrongly. And in order for us to act rightly, we have to believe the right things about our Creator, on whom we were created in His image to be. We want to act like His children. And very clearly, God not only wants to save us of our sins, but He has put us together within the body of Christ. You see this, here's what I would suggest to you. In fact, Scripture declares it emphatically. You cannot honor Jesus Christ in your daily lives and not be a part of the local church. There's absolutely no way around it. You can't perform all the things that it's talking about here. It says to the foolishness of preaching. And Christ crucified, God does a work. God does wonderful things in small groups. He does in life connections. But listen, there is something when you hear God speak corporately together. And many of you have given testimony that God has been speaking to me about this particular thing. God uses, and He calls it, the foolishness of preaching. This passage of Scripture says that we, not only do we live for the praise of His glory, the book of Isaiah tells us we were created for the glory of God. And our sin skewed all of the glory of God. We had nothing to offer Him. In fact, our righteousness was as filthy rags, the Scripture tells us. There is none righteous, no, not one. So part of the redemptive work of Christ is not only to forgive us our sins, He doesn't just give us a new leaf, give us a mulligan, an opportunity to start over, because He fixes our hearts and He sets it apart, and now we can live to the glory of God for the very reason we were created. Remember when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, and when He breathed into them the breath of life and they became a living being, He said, "It is very good." And God's Scripture is God-breathed, and when He breathes that into our life and we're energized by faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross, and He rose again, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now within us, we live for the glory of God. Now let's look at how we view God in this. And I also want to say this. Honoring Jesus, and it's in your notes there, but I don't want us to miss it, means to revere Him for who He is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. I want to see you as you really are. It means to treasure Him for what He has accomplished. I embrace the cross. I embrace the message of the cross. And it means to commit to His purpose and plan in the world, through the church, and in my life. See, God is doing a work in the world, and He's going to do it through the church. As the individuals of our individually, we place our faith and are connected together. So now let's go on. First of all, number one, God has chosen us in Him. If you follow along in your notes, I just want to encourage you to underline some things here. Just as, would you underline this? He chose us in Him. Before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless, underline this, before Him. In love, underline this, He predestined us to the adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ, underline this, to Himself. According to, underline, the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory, it is His grace. He freely bestowed on us the Beloved. In the Beloved. Underline verse 7. In Him we have redemption through, underline this, His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of, here it is again, His grace, which He lavished on us. Underline that. In all the wisdom and insight, verse 9, He made us known the mystery of, underline this, His will according to the kind intention, His kind intention, underline that, which He purposed in Him. The central character in our salvation is God. God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He chose us. It was His will. It was His good pleasure. It's His grace. It is by grace we have been saved. It's not of our own selves. It is the gift of God, so that none of us can boast. A lot of people don't have that view of God. They've grown up kind of thinking, and maybe some, they were taught about this, that basically in the spiritual world, there's these big scales. And when you first come to God, your bad works have already tipped the scales against you. And you've got to do a lot of good. And you know what? If you do a lot of good, if you add a little bit of money to that, that will kind of help it up come a little bit more. In fact, some of your money, if you give to the growth fund, some churches would tell you, you'll get a better place in heaven. God will bless upon you. We're not going to tell you that there. To give to the growth fund may take sacrifice. It may take to you to give up something that you want for yourself. But you do it not because the church is asking it, but because God is beginning to set your heart apart. See, this is a wrong view of God. A lot of people, I'd like to talk more about this, but a lot of people, here's the question we ask. Do I view God as an angry judge or as a loving father? Do I view God as a disgruntled dad or a deadbeat dad? And let me tell you this. The type of home that you were raised in will greatly impact the tendencies of how you view God. And so if you had an uninvolved father, it doesn't mean that you can't understand God as a loving father. It's just there is some strongholds in your life that will have tendencies for you to view God wrongly. Just understand that, acknowledge that, and say, God, I want to worship You for who You are. He's a loving God. He's a compassionate Father. He's faithful. He's caring. He's a loving dad. But also how we see ourselves matters. And Scripture puts a mirror up to us and lets us see what's really in our heart. Do I see myself as a condemned sinner or as an adopted child? It's huge. There's this old song, there's a gospel song that goes, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, we were all sinners saved by grace, but let me tell you, the Word of God says you're not just a sinner saved by grace. You are God's called out one. You are to be holy and blameless before Him. In fact, Scripture calls us holy before we act holy. And it's all based upon God's work in our heart and our life. Now, I know a lot more about adoption now than I did 5 years ago. There's still a whole lot I don't know. But a little over 5 years ago, Marilyn and I, God had put within my wife a desire to adopt. She said, David, I don't feel the need to have other children, but I do feel like our family's not complete. This had been for almost 27 years in her life. She's God just put within. That's part of how God shaped her to want to adopt. We went through the process. What they do is the state sends you things. They send you profiles and you look at them and you say, well, this, I don't think this will work. And hey, this one catches. Then you say, how about this group over here? And we went in. We weren't expecting three and things. But We just God. Then what happens? I got to make this clear. Then other people that have this child in their care, or these children in their care, look at the various families and the factors and what they need, and they have what's called a best interest staffing. And then they pick a selected family. And then when they chose us, we were able to go down to Wichita. And we got to meet the boys a little bit here in our community. And then we went and went down to Wichita, and there's a big room. And they brought us these stacks of books. We couldn't take any pictures of them. We could make a few notes if we wanted, but we couldn't take anything with us. And these boys had stacks of books of things that these kids had been through, medical records, things in their foster home, different things that they've noticed in their life, medications that they may have been on, all that stuff, so that we could get an evaluation of knowing that we're going in here with our eyes as wide open as they possibly could be. And so then we continue to go through the process, and one day we adopted them. They lived in our home for about a year, and we continued on, and we adopted them on December 23rd of 2008, I think it was. You know, a lot of families in our church have adopted people. In fact, some of you have adopted kids that you haven't given them your name, but you've treated them as your own. But you know, I was very thankful that when I went to adopt Christian, Diego, and Noah, they said, "Oh, there's one last thing, David, you need to do." I said, "What's that?" "Your son Jacob, you need to let us kill him." That's what God did for us. As much as we can make connections with adoption and what we would do and the goodness of our hearts, He gave up and He delivered His son Jesus for us. You ever wonder if God wants you? He gave up His one and only son for you. Oh yeah, He wanted you. Oh yeah, He chose you. The other thing that God didn't do, He says, "Let me see their file, see if I want them. See if I think I can handle this one." God didn't do that to us. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. There was no sin too great, no pain too big that God didn't say, "They are mine, and I've written their name, I've inscribed their name on the palm of my hands because I have chosen them. I have redeemed you. You are mine," says the Lord. 1 John 3:1 says, "See how great of love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God." I honor Jesus Christ in my daily life, who is the fullness, and I want to make that an effort. As a church, we want to do that because God chose us to the praise of His glory. Let's go on. Not only that, but this scripture teaches us that God has a plan for us in Christ. He has a plan for us. "In Him you were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory." You know, this is an incredible passage of Scripture that ought to be a huge blessing. In fact, it says God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. But I want to let you know that Christians in the past, in our day today, have used this particular passage of Scripture to hit each other, to slice up each other, because it has words like this: election, predestination, foreknowledge, that choosing of God. And literally, as you study church history, you have basically two camps in Protestantism, one based upon the teaching of an individual named John Calvin, one from James Arminian. I have no time really to talk to you about all of that stuff, but I would love, if you want to know kind of what I feel about it and what I believe the teaching comes in, you can kind of pull it out in our thing. But if you were raised in a Protestant church, you were affected. We could drive by Concordia and we can say, who had more greatly influenced that? But listen, this scripture was not given for us to argue over. It was given so that we might know that God has chosen us and that He has a plan for our life. These arguments about once saved, always saved, or can you walk away from God, they are intramural. in their nature. We all believe that Jesus Christ came to say, you know what, and I really don't care. I don't think any of us are going to matter when we get to heaven and someone says, I told you so. Hey, if I'm in heaven, my mom taught me this way. Let me finish this. My mom said this. She said, David, Calvinists know they can't lose it, but they're afraid they don't have it, salvation. They look at people and say, well, they must not have really been saved in the first place if they act like that. And the Arminianists, they know they can't lose it, but they're afraid they don't have it. So they go to the altar time and time and time again. Save me this time, Jesus. God doesn't want us living in fear. You accept and you honor Jesus Christ in your daily life. You accept his shed blood in your life. I would just say this. Boy, I just say a lot of things, don't I? If you are having to point back in your spiritual life to a time years ago when you asked Jesus Christ in your life, I would never say that you're not saved, but I would say this. There's something wrong in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. There would be something wrong in my marriage to say, David, how do you know that you're married? What is the evidence of that? And I went back and pulled out my marriage certificate and say, here's it is. See, I am married. I am a good husband. The certificate says so. Listen, if you don't have an ongoing relationship, there's something wrong in your relationship with God. So get right. You get right by the grace of the Lord Jesus. You can see the quote there by A.W. Tozer, a great quote. Prying into these depths may make theologians, but they will never make saints. The holy ones of God. How does God's advanced planning help us? First of all, I can see the evidence of God's hand upon my life. Joseph said, when he looked at his brothers and all the bad stuff he went through, you can read this story in Genesis about 42 to 50, says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. When you see all the bad things that were happening in Joseph's life, when he was betrayed by his brothers and sold to the Midianites and then sold to Potiphar, it says, but God was with Joseph. And when he was falsely accused of a sexual crime and convicted and thrown in prison, it says, but God was with Joseph. And when he interpreted the dream of the cupbearer and said, please remember me and tell the king that I did this, and he was forgotten for 2 years, the scripture says God was with Joseph. See, God had a plan, and there was a day in which Joseph interpreted the dream of the Pharaoh, and he was elevated to the second in command of all of Egypt. God had a plan for his life. And the devious devices of men could not change that plan. The dysfunctional family that he grew up could not change or alter that plan. God had a plan. Not only in the bad times, but in the good times. God's gracious hand. And in Ezra, it tells us the gracious hand was upon Ezra, because he devoted himself to the study of God's word. Listen, some of you are here today and you've not stepped across the line to receive Christ as your Savior. I want to submit to you that you are here today. You're hearing this message, and it's the evidence that God is guiding your life and giving you one more chance to come home. You have questions. Maybe a friend brought you. Maybe your heart's broken and you're hoping to fill it with some answers. That's why I love to read the My Stories of people, because God reaches all kinds of people through all kinds of ways and events. Tony and Jasmine Nelson over here, they came into membership last Sunday. They were sharing a follow-up to membership class and were talking to me. And Tony happened to mention that they had this Jesus film that they've never watched. He said, we've had that thing for years. And somehow he said, I got it several years ago when I lived back in Clay Center. And I said, that wasn't by chance a video cassette, was it? And he goes, yeah, it was. And I said, either Jasmine or Tony, one of them said, yeah, our neighbors next to us, they brought over that film with a pie and invited us to the Wesleyan Church in Clay Center. And I said, What years was that? When were you there? And they said, oh, it was a long time ago, like 97 and 98. Now, Tony and Jasmine didn't come to know Jesus Christ personally as their Savior until about 4 years ago. But I was getting chills down my back because I was the pastor of the Wesleyan Church in Clay Center. And I left in June of 1998. But a major outreach that we did in the spring of 1998 was the Jesus Video Project. And we had 500 videos that we gave out to people around in the proximity of the church. And we also encourage people to buy those films for their family members, their neighbors, and invite others. Tony and Jasmine were living on a city block that was not in our target area. But someone who was in the leadership of that, and we've determined that that was David and Mary Jo Rolla. She did make good pies. Tony described them as that older couple. Tony likes pie too. This week I had the privilege of calling Pastor Rob Stewart from the Clay Center Church and said, are David and Mary Jo still around? I said, will you tell them this story? Now listen, that was just a seed. Here's what's amazing to me about that. Tony and Jasmine, I don't know how many times have moved, but they lived in different houses. 14 years later, they're living in Jamestown. Had opportunity to throw out that Jesus film. And Tony, in a membership interview with his current pastor, we realized that God's merciful drops into people's lives was happening all along. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you this. Would you just evaluate the people, events, and places you have been where you have sensed, if you were to look at it, God's not letting it get away. He woos us. He is a gentleman. Listen, we have a lot of things as a church that we do that we don't see immediate results. Egg hunt, trunk and treat. Sometimes our children's ministry leaders say, oh, I wonder if I'm getting through. And there are times we get to see a better picture. We get to see an Ann Sickle, an Ashley Johnson, a Natalie Hartzell, a Joshua Johnson, an Emily Redmond. You know, people that are just loving God and giving themselves over to it. I see the evidence of God's hand in my life. I know that God has prepared for my life. Things aren't a surprise to God. God doesn't wake up one morning and say, oh, I never expected them to do that. God planned for your life. He gave you gifts and abilities and experiences to be used within the body of Christ. And as part of his grace, add into this world. Shad, thanks for singing today. Church conference. First time he sang in front of a group solo like that, today he sang that same song. And as much as my heart was full of that, here's what I know. I told Shad, I was thinking about this. I probably never would have heard that song had it not been for this man right here, who took Shad into his home when Shad's home wasn't the way it was supposed to be, who kept contact with Shad when he was in prison and out of prison and in prison again, who prayed for him and offered his home to him when he got out of prison, who said, I have a church family that will accept you. Listen, there are songs being sung and there will be songs being sung in all eternity because you chose to honor Jesus Christ in your daily life. You know, God is a singing God. It tells us in the Old Testament that he rejoices over us with singing. And here's why the church is the hope of the world, because there are still songs to be written in the hearts of man. It's why we do what we do. One day we'll all stand before the throne of God and say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. God, your plan was bigger than mine. It was better than mine. Thanks for letting me sing the song. I know that God, unexpected events are not a surprise to him. Let's go on. And I know that God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a hurt. We will be redundant in repeating that because the enemy tells you your hurts are what defines you. And God says, not so. I am the one, for those that are called according to my purpose, I cause all things to work together for good, even things that were meant in evil devices. Look what I did with the crucifixion of my son and how it brought life to many. Let me show you what God will do in your life and through your life as I work in the world through the church by your life. If you're hurting today, there's other people that are hurting, and probably God has put some people around you, made available to you. You may have to get in a life connection or a life group to really find out. But there's a wonderful thing that happens when you hear someone sharing what God is doing in their life and where they've been, and you feel like you're saying, me too. That was me. It allows transparency, it allows authenticity, it allows healing in our life. And you will also be that person for someone else. Read the scripture there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And God has given us His Spirit. God has given us His Spirit, and He's done it as a seal. A seal was something they put on a legal document, and it authenticated, and it testified, it identified who the owner was. And God says, I've given my Holy Spirit in your life. And that Spirit will cause you to have a love that you never had before. Cause you to reach out to people. All of a sudden, you will hear God speaking through His Word to you. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, listen, I'm showing this to you. I'm disclosing it to you. And you're going to give me glory as you listen to what my promptings are in your life. You will also see a consistency begin to develop in your life as the fruit of the Spirit comes out in our life, and we see love and joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control begin to reign supreme in our life because we have made Christ the Lord of our life. We'll pick it up there next week and talk about how we can live in the fullness of God. But let me tell you this. For every one of us here today, God chose you. Doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what other people told you. It doesn't matter what other names have been called. God saw you in Christ Jesus. And He planned for you. I want you to notice here in Ephesians 1, whom the Spirit seals. Does God love everyone? Yes, He does. Is everyone in God's family? No, they are not. It tells us, when you believed, you were sealed. How do you believe? You accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross for your sins, believe that He carried your sin in His body on the cross, that He died, that He was buried, and that He rose again in newness of life so you and I can live to the praise of His glory. Let's pray. If you're here today and you're ready to step across that line, would you just lift up your hand and say, I want to ask Jesus Christ in my heart and life today. I understand that He chose me, He planned for me, and today I want to be sealed by the Spirit of God. Father God, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. That's us. Praise Him, heavenly host, because He is worthy. Praise God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Father, thank you. Now we take your command as our marching orders of obedience, and we will be joyful. We will grow to maturity. We will encourage one another and live in harmony and peace. And we will experience the God of love and peace is with us all. To the praise of your glory, we pray. Amen.